But I believe it is in the best interest. I realize that my comments today are limited to beyond the authority of the agency, contrary to the intent of the legislature, determined not to be in the public interest, or deemed by the committee to have substantial economic impact not recognized in the fiscal impact statement. How's that? I got notes. So I'm going to start out with beyond the authority of the agency. And I wish I brought my glasses or printed this bigger. RSA 77 contains no statutory authority to adopt the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. It's actually in the business profits tax law, RSA 77A, all right, but it is not in the interest and dividends tax law. And if you look at the interest and dividends tax law, you'll find corrections, which is corrections from the IRS, which would be based upon the current Internal Revenue Code. So this leads to a lot of confusion because we've got the Internal Revenue Code of 86, but the corrections portion says the current Internal Revenue Code. And so what should people really follow? And they have no statutory authority to use RSA 77, the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, all right? So I think that's a question that needs to be answered. Okay, if you take, for example, I got to read the 90105. I have other examples, and I can leave you with my notes. In the statute, in the regs, there is no statute in the IND that does Internal Revenue Code other than corrections, which is RSA 77. You remember? Correction. Sorry, I didn't bring it with me, but it's right in the statute, and it's called corrections. The statutory section that allows the use of the Internal Revenue Code is actually in 77A, the business profits tax law, which is not at issue here. And that's 77A1 definitions, Roman numeral 20, United States Internal Revenue Code means. And the latest one is for all years beginning after January 1st, 2000, the United States Internal Revenue Code of 1986 in effect on December 31st, 2000. So in other words, there is no authority to use 86. There is some inclination in the current IND law, which is under the section called corrections, which means you're getting corrections from the Internal Revenue Code to apply to New Hampshire taxpayers, all right? But that would be the current Internal Revenue Code because the IRS doesn't audit to old code. Have I confused you? Well, Senator Cilley, you know, I think I heard earlier, and I thought this was interesting, is this, you know what you missed? Your husband isn't one of the brightest tax attorneys in the state like Kathy Scheer. That's what you need.
Any comments about folks who are not in the room, please? Representative Kidder and then Representative Boyce.
Sure.
So, if I understand this correctly, you're saying there's no statutory authority for a portion of these rules?
For using the rules, for using anything in the rules that refers to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. And I can leave you, but it's referenced many times, 90105, 90114, 90208, and I can leave you my notes just in case that would be of some help to you.
No
question. Okay. Oh, actually, I did find it. It's 77, the statute for the IND corrections is, I did put it on my notes, 7724-B, corrections. Each taxpayer shall report to the Commissioner of Revenue Administration any change in the amount of the taxpayer income as defined in RSA 77A4 as finally determined by the United States Internal Revenue Service with respect to any beneficial interest for which a taxpayer has made a return under this chapter, dot, dot, dot. So, and that would imply the current Internal Revenue Code because the current Internal Revenue Code is the only thing the IRS audits to. So there is an indication in the IND law, although there is no statutory authority to pick any code. Okay, number two, no statutory authority to use compensation deduction under RSA 77A4. All right, there is nothing in the law or in the IND law that allows you to pick and choose from another state law a particular definition or law. So, And this has many, many, many consequences. But to stick with the and by that I say, when you talked earlier about potential changes to the compensation deduction, all right, you'd actually be making changes to a different law, all right? And that's okay if you have it in the statute referenced in there that you're going back to then, because then when the legislature hears these things, they know, well, I'm not only affecting this, I'm affecting that, all right? But you need statutory authority to actually use the compensation deduction. I think it should have its own put in there in without legislative guidance of any kind. However, you know, it's got to be, you know, they have to have some reason to put it in there, some statutory authority, and as of right now, they have no statutory authority to use the business profits tax compensation law in the interest and dividends tax law. Tough concept, I know, but it's pretty straightforward issue.
Next issue.
Contrary to the intent of the legislature, I think that the legislature included capital gains tax in the House passed budget. They did not include it in the final budget. The Senate took it out, all right? And the Senate was clear in its debate in the intent not to have a capital gains tax. Yet in this is the taxation of capital gains. And I think your discussion was very, very helpful on capital gains, because it started, you looked at mutual funds and other things, okay? So here we have a case, if you're the shareholder of the stock and you sell the stock, you get capital gains. So the big corporation gets the benefit of the capital gains treatment, all right? A mutual fund gets the benefit of the capital gains treatment, but a small business is locked into the capital gains being a dividend.
Commissioner.
Yes.
Am I mistaken, but on page 4 of the conditional approval, D is amounts received from such funds by investors on all investments shall be taxable dividends except for, and 3 is capital gains. Are we using the same
one? No, in an LLC or other organization, you will pay capital gains under section 90208. But you have done a very good job of pointing out exactly what I just said. Corporations, big corporations and mutual funds will get the capital gains deduction. Small businesses will not get the capital gains deduction. They will have to pay this. This forever removes anybody saying that this is leveling the playing field between corporations and small business. This unlevels the playing field, and you all heard it here first, and you had an excellent debate on it today. Okay, finally, get to my last one here. Finally, the fiscal note that was submitted to you has no cost. Now, there is no original fiscal note. Now, this fiscal note has to pick up whatever the fiscal note that was prepared with the bill, all right, has to pick it up. Well, there is no fiscal note in the bill, so I guess everything should be on this. They announced how much money they would make with this, $15 million a year. So maybe you could leave that off. I don't know, because there's really no fiscal note to really tell. So all the fiscal notes should be contained on this fiscal note. If the department is correct, and I have no reason to doubt this, that 20,000 taxpayers will be impacted by this change. All right, now you've just heard what the costs are of administrating this. You have to have records from the LLC, you have to have records from the subchapter S corporations to document everything, you have to have all the loan documents, and then you have to keep track of earnings and profits. And then you have to bring this over to your interest and dividends tax return. Now, at minimum, at bare minimum, and I mean if somebody's given you a break that you wouldn't believe, I think $500 a year is fair to say to prepare all those tax forms and keep records. As a matter of fact, that's probably as low ball as you're ever going to get, and anybody in here who's in business knows that. Okay, so $500 a year times 20,000 taxpayers is $10 million. This must, and I don't care how you arrive at it. I mean, you can arrive at it a different way. I've arrived at it in a pretty conservative way and said this is the minimum. That $10 million added to the $15 million also is telling you.
Commissioner, would it be fair to say that that discussion belongs in another room of this building where they are discussed?
Absolutely not, sir, because there is a fiscal note on this, and I am allowed to talk on the things that are not included in this fiscal note, and this is not included in this fiscal note. I beg to differ with you. I do not want to be impolite.
Okay.
So the fact is now we've added a $10 million administration cost that is not included in this fiscal note, that is not included in any fiscal note with this state, all right? And it should be included in the fiscal, the rulemaking fiscal note. By the way, as a sideline, $10 million to administer a $15 million tax may make this the most inefficient tax in the country. That's something to be proud of.
Thank you. And just for clarification for the members, if you look at it is not the fiscal impact statement is not attached to the conditional approval request. But in the one that we have, which is the final proposal, you do have the rulemaking form, and it says to the independently owned businesses, to the state or the state citizens, that there is no fiscal impact at all. So that's where you, where the committee, the former commissioner, is at. It's not so much a fiscal note as it is a fiscal impact statement that we require when we go through rulemaking. That was just for clarification. Thank you.
And I apologize for taking so much time and being blunt there at the end. I really...
Sir, if we don't do that, we don't get the information we need, and I thank you for it.
Thank you. Would you like my notes, just in case you need to refer back to them? They're not great, but they might help you.
They certainly would be available. Thank you.